You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
So who do we have coming up in 10 minutes?
So I got an email coming off of Memorial Day from good friend of the program, Lou Eisenbrandt, author.
Vietnam nurse.
Vietnam nurse, served as a Vietnam nurse. And she sent the email to a bunch of us in the media and just friends. And she said, we learned today that Diane Carlson Evans, who pioneered and championed the addition of the memorial to women who served in Vietnam, has passed away. And I reached out to her and I said, you know what? You ought to come on the program and talk about that, because I know a lot of women, and I think Lou was even involved in some level. A lot of women fought to have that recognition that there were many, many women who served in Vietnam, in medical tents, and saw the most horrible things you cannot even imagine, Scott. Mm-hmm. And I said, would you call in and talk to us about it? And she said, absolutely. Going to join us at 5:15.
Okay, this will be controversial. Bleacher Report, which is to say CNN Sports, is out with the top 16 athletes of all time.
Of all time, forever and ever. Amen.
Any sport.
Here we go.
Okay. Serena Williams.
There's not a single female on the list.
Well, then I have nothing to say about this conversation. How is Caitlin Clark not on the list?
I just realized that there's not a woman on the list. I'm sorry.
Great.
Anyone?
No, now I'm mad. Michael Jordan will be on the list.
I don't know what I can say. What do you want me to say? I don't want to get yelled at.
Michael Jordan should be on the list.
Number one.
Kobe Bryant's probably on the list. Tiger Woods is probably on the list.
Kobe Bryant did not make the list.
Michael Phelps.
Tiger Woods is number 14. Michael Phelps is number 5.
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Did not make the top 16.
Messi.
Number 11.
Tom Brady.
Number 16.
LeBron James.
Is there like a Ben Hogan or an Arnold Palmer or a Jack Nicklaus on there?
There's only one golfer and his name is Tiger Woods.
Okay.
All right, who put this list together?
Bleacher Report, which is CNN Sports.
A bunch of men put it together.
What was the list called?
The greatest athletes of all time.
The greatest male athletes of all time.
Clearly.
Well,
obviously.
Katie Ledecky should be on that list for swim.
There's only one swimmer on. It's Michael Phelps.
We're missing baseball.
Like
we're missing Hank Aaron. We're missing Babe Ruth.
Mickey
Babe
Mantle.
Ruth is number 6.
Okay, wait. Athlete?
What?
First the man time. Hit a lot of baseballs, caught a lot of baseballs, and threw a lot of baseballs. It was not an athlete.
Sam and Dana, I didn't put the list together.
Okay. Okay. Babe Ruth was an athlete.
He did not have what we would consider today to be a svelte physique.
Right.
That's what you're saying, Sam.
He had a figure. It was round.
Are we missing like a Muhammad Ali? Are we missing boxer?
Number two.
Okay.
All right. All of the folks on this list are, of course, top athletes.
Number 15, Bruce Lee.
Okay.
All right.
Number 14, Tiger Woods. Number 13, Joe Montana. 12 is LeBron James. 11
Joe
is
Montana.
Messi is number 11. Roger Federer is number 10.
Forgot tennis.
Pele is number 9.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Pele, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they did consider some people not from here.
Jim Thorpe is 8.
Oh, good call on their part.
Bo Jackson is 7.
Okay.
Babe is 6. Michael Phelps is 5. Gretzky is 4. Bolt is 3. Muhammad Ali is 2. And Michael Jordan is number 1.
Can I just ask, love that we had Joe Montana for
2 seasons.
A hot minute. Does that surprise you? Like, there's so many great football players like over the years. I don't know that if you said who are the greatest football players of all time.
I would put Brady above Montana.
I am very surprised with respect that Joe Montana is the name on that list.
He was all athleticism, though. He didn't really, I mean, he played backyard football.
He had 4 Super Bowl victories.
True. Brady had 7.
There isn't a running back that you think was better?
Bo Jackson's on the list.
Oh, I suppose.
The fact that Bo Jackson is below Babe Ruth in athleticism.
You know, and Sam's told you this before.
He's really sour about that, isn't he?
Wait, is this about athleticism or just...
No, it says athletes.
Best 16 athletes of all time.
Yeah. Oh, well, then there should be women on there.
But only
I agree.
They're men. That's what this list was.
I agree. There should be women on that list. Serena Williams would certainly be in my top five.
Caitlin Clark would be on that list.
She hasn't done enough yet.
Hasn't been around long enough, really.
She's in her, second season in the WNBA?
Wouldn't Patrick Mahomes be on that list?
Not yet.
Not yet.
There were no active players on the list, by the way.
Kind of hard to rise above Babe Ruth.
From the text line, no way I'm putting Brady ahead of Montana. Absolutely no way. Mm. Simone Biles deserves a mention.
Of course, for sure. Yeah.
We have Florida man stories in our stack all the time. I bring you a Florida woman story.
Oh, good.
A Florida woman is accused of renting a string of Airbnbs, peeing all over them, and then posting the videos online. Line forms to the left, guys. Nicolette Kehoe faces felony criminal mischief charges. Police say she urinated on furniture and other items in two different Airbnb rental homes in Pensacola. She is 31 years old.
Was this like an OnlyFans kind
of thing? Yes, Dan. I don't even want to know how you guessed that. Yes.
Or was it a guess,
and
Dan?
And would you care to describe her mugshot?
She is smiling.
Super cute. Big smile.
She is cute. She looks a little disheveled.
Mm-hmm.
Her hair could be done a little bit better, nicer.
Well, it's a mugshot,
Scott.
That's
what you're focused on.
Authorities say she did $3,000 worth of damage. oh, my God.
She's cute.
The homeowner, apparently someone reached out to the homeowner and said, do you know you're renting an Airbnb to some woman that's peeing all over your house? And I swear to you, that's what the police report says.
I think we're missing the lead here. If she is a vendor for OnlyFans, she's...
That's so disgusting.
She is doing this not because it's a bizarre fetish of hers, because it's a bizarre fetish of somebody else.
Like and subscribe.
Because men are paying her thousands of dollars to look at
To pee on furniture.
Yeah.
It is considered felony... mischief.
Is the problem with her?
I don't know, Scott. I don't even know where to begin.
Or with the dudes who are saying, hey, I'll give you $1,000 if you'll pee on that couch.
There wasn't a market. She wouldn't have done it.
That's
and
exactly
it also,
right.
By the way, you're forgetting the antique typewriter and the...
She peed on a typewriter?
Record player, which, you know, I don't know. Maybe she was an acrobat. I don't know where these items were in the Airbnb.
You just have to straddle them.
Oh, my God.
She was an acrobat.
God. Is the internet the worst thing that has ever happened?
Yes.
The worst and the best, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with worst.
But we did it. I mean, we got to zoom out and just blame society. Y'all are trying to blame one thing.
But the internet didn't create this behavior. It amplified it. The behavior was already there.
Created a permission structure.
I don't know.
From the
text line. Do you remember how many years ago Marv Albert... you know, was exploring.
Put women's underpants on his head.
And that was the biggest scandal.
That was in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
In a hotel
room. Look at how far we've fallen.
From the text line. More like an Airbnb. Sounds like a
Airbnb.
Stop it.
Thank you. I'll show myself out.
Stop it.
So dumb. Okay.
Did she clean up?
I don't want to talk about it, Dan. We are getting ready to welcome a Vietnam veteran into the studio.
They charge a lot for those cleanup fees.
Mm-hmm. Excessive.
All right. Dana Wright.
Excessive in nature.
Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott Parks here on KMBZ. Sad news this week. This story from CBS News. Diane Carlson Evans, the Minnesota native Army veteran who founded the Vietnam Women's Memorial in Washington, D.C., died late last week at the age of 79. She grew up in Buffalo, Minnesota, served in Vietnam for 1 year, at an evacuation hospital, two evacuation hospitals, actually, in the burn units. She spent years working to establish a separate memorial for the more than 265,000 women.
That needs to be underscored.
Who served in the Vietnam War.
More than 265,000 American women who served.
One of them joining us on the KMZ hotline, the author of the book, Vietnam Nurse. We had her in not too long ago, Lute Eisenbrandt. Lute, welcome, and thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Well, I was sorry to see the news, Lou, and I was retelling the story earlier in the program that you have throughout your career, and you give speeches, and you are an author about your experience saving lives in Vietnam. That you have met many veterans who look at you when you say, what year did you serve? I was over there. And they will say, no, there were not women over in Vietnam.
Well, I after just listening the a piece about these 15 top athletes and not one is a woman, I guess that sort of ties in with the situation with the memorial. First of all, there were plenty of women who served, and mainly, if you weren't wounded as a soldier, maybe you didn't see a female, an American female. But we were there, we did serve, and it in an effort to make that known and to have something sort of permanent, Diane worked literally for 10 years to get this additional statue added to the Vietnam Memorial. And she heard things. It had to be approved by Congress, of course. And the wall, as it's known, was dedicated in 1982. And the women's statue was added in 1993. So it took those full 10 years. Some of the Congress people who had to approve this, because Congress has to do that, supposedly, said, oh, well, if we recognize women, then we have to recognize the canine corps or the equine corps. So we were right in there with the dogs and the horses.
I remember you saying someone in Congress, or more than one person in Congress, said that.
Yes.
And it's beyond the pale, Lou. The bronze statue, if you've never seen it, depicts three uniformed women and a wounded soldier.
Correct.
Why do you think it took so long? And what was it about Diane that something lit that fire and she saw this to the conclusion to make sure this happened?
I would say she was persistent and when she made the decision that she thought we should be recognized, she didn't give up. And she connected with as many, particularly the nurses, because the statue is a sculpture of three nurses in fatigues tending to a soldier. And I think that people just thought there just weren't enough of us to make any difference. We didn't count. Like I said, sometimes people don't think of women as being there, except if you really give it some thought, there were hospitals there. Now, when you think of hospitals, now maybe not so in 2026, but certainly in the era that I was nursing, you automatically assume there have to be some nurses involved with hospitals. But if you're just on the outside looking in, you perhaps don't think about it. And I usually said to people who said, well, I didn't, if they were soldiers and came back, and I'd say, well, you didn't see a nurse. And I usually ask them, were you wounded? And they'll say no. And then I'll say, maybe you didn't see a nurse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You didn't end up at a hospital.
Did women in the Vietnam era only work as nurses, or did they do other jobs?
No, they did a lot of other jobs. And actually, the figure that you gave includes women, the total group of women, There were women in, now not in combat, in as it was added later on, and the Lord knows what is happening with it now. I hope that doesn't go backwards. But anyway, no, there were women who were in mail rooms and communications and things of that sort. It's estimated that there were about 12,000 women actually in Vietnam, and of those, 10,000 were probably nurses.
Would you remind me, Lou?
Yeah, more nurses.
Pardon me. Would you remind me, just from memory, did you say there are two women's names on the actual Vietnam wall?
There are eight women.
Eight. Pardon me. I'm going from memory from our last interview. And remind me, those eight. Of those eight, how many were nurses?
They were all nurses.
All of them. Okay.
One, the only nurse killed by direct enemy contact was Sharon Lane, who was killed at my hospital about 4 months before I arrived. And the hospital took rocket fire, and the rocket landed in the ward that she was working on, and the shrapnel killed her instantly. The other seven women were either, there were two helicopters that went down, there was a plane that went down, but so Sharon was the only one that was by direct enemy fire.
Lou, quickly, I'm assuming that you knew Diane personally.
I did know her. I didn't know her well, but I spoke with her several times. And, you know, clearly followed her story as we were all trying to make this come to fruition and staying in touch and sending in our $10 here and $15 there and whatever we needed to make this happen.
In 2024, she said, Lou, it really helped me come out and say, yes, I am a veteran. Yes, I served in a war, and I finally became very proud of what I did. She actually received the Presidential Citizens Medal last year from former President Joe Biden.
Yes. Yes. That's the other thing about women being in Vietnam in that setting. Very few of us received medals of any kind.
Really?
Yes. And I guess the thought was, well, we were women. This was our job. And we did deserve, you know, whatever we may have thought we got. So there was very little recognition. And I think that's still a bit of a sore point with some of us who would like to have claimed that we earned something other than just a pat on the back.
You said, Lou, for so many young men, you were the last face. Those nurses were the last face that they saw. Mm. You were the last one to hold their hand.
And that's very true. And I've been reading a lot lately about, I'm locating a couple other nurses who I didn't know were still around. And when I read different accounts, that really is the thing that seems to, and when I speak as well, that's something that always comes up. There are many times we were the last voice that some of these young men heard. You were the last one to hold their hand and say to them, "You're going to be fine. We're taking care of you." Now, whether that was we knew that was going to happen or not, that is not the time that you lay the truth on the line. It was just important for them to know that they were not alone, and that was crucial to what we did.
Well, Lou, I'm reading your book right now. Dana loaned it to me, called Vietnam Nurse, and it is a great, fascinating read. And we want to thank you for your time and thank you for your service.
You're most welcome. And yes, you can tell anybody who doesn't know that there were women in Vietnam, and we saved lives.
Amen.
Lou, be well. It's always good to hear your voice, my friend.
I will. Thank you, Dana.
All right, that's Lou Eisenbrandt, author of the book Vietnam Nurse. You can get it online, 913-586-7798, 586-7798. All right, so let's go back to this story for just a minute from the New York Post. It's about woman who goes by the name Kat, K-A-T, and she was a shopper at Walmart. She thought she was buying $3 shoes until dynamic pricing increased the price to $18 by the time that she checked out. Now, we've been hearing about dynamic pricing over the last handful of months. How does this work?
So it depends, really. There's the online dynamic pricing, which is what Instacart got caught doing.
Okay.
There are a number of other companies that have been accused of doing the same. Amazon Prime has not been free of those accusations. There are theories that they do it as well. And in that setting, they take your internet data and they basically come up with whatever they think your socioeconomic status is.
Based on where you live.
Where you live, what you shop for, how much money you spend in any given period of time.
Got it.
Things like that. And they will price it accordingly. So if you spend, I'm just going to throw a ridiculously large number out there, $60,000 mm-hmm. a year, or a month, excuse me, on Amazon stuff.
Okay.
Instacart's going to see that metadata and say, oh, well, we can charge $4 for this can of beans rather than 79 cents.
But how can a store be legally required to sell you the product at the price that it's marked? Let's say, for example, I'm at this Walmart.
Okay.
And I go and find a pair of shoes and I like them, and they're listed as $10 shoes. I realize as I'm, you know, going through the rest of the store.
If you even realize it.
And I look at the shoes, and I realize, oh, this is not the size I want. And, you know, now that I think about it, these are not the shoes I want. I don't like the color. I don't like the style. And I go back to the shoe department, and I put the shoes in the slot where $3 shoes are for sale. I'm the one who put the $10 shoes in the $3 slot. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why would Walmart be required to sell me those shoes at $3 or sell somebody else's shoes at $3 when somebody else, me, moved them from the $10 to the $3 slot?
In your analogy, it's mislabeling.
Correct.
So that would be false advertising. They have to sell it to you at whatever price it is appropriately labeled at.
So I think dynamic pricing is worse than mislabeling.
This is a totally different situation. So what I had described was the online dynamic pricing. Now we're talking about the in-store dynamic pricing. And you'll notice there used to be just a paper sign in front of your product that told you the cost of that good, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now it's a digital sign. Why is that? Well, they can change them whenever they want to.
Yep.
And so specifically with companies like Walmart and Target and the other ones that have been caught doing this exact thing is they will identify a time throughout the day or maybe a time in the month when these particular products sell more often. So let's say Tuesday is the day that everybody comes and buys toilet paper. If you go on a Wednesday, that toilet paper might be $4. You come on the following Tuesday, it might be $12. What happened here was that this lady, what is it that she picked up for $3?
They were shoes.
So she picked up a pair of shoes that were $3.
But they rang up at $18.98.
So let's say that, assuming that it wasn't a situation like you were describing, Scott, where it was put back in the wrong spot. Let's say it was in the right spot. It was actually advertised at $3. Mm-hmm. She picked them up, say, at $3.55. Well, their higher demand surge pricing may kick in at 4 o'clock. Mm. So by the time she made it to the register, it rang up as $15 or $18. Legally, you have to sell it to them as the price advertised. As the customer, how do you prove it if the sign changed? Do you just walk around and take a picture of every single price sign before you pick up a product?
Well, some people do.
Don't you think, Sam, most people would agree this feels dirty?
Yes.
It feels wrong.
Yes.
You know, you go tinkering with gasoline prices like this because you think you could take advantage of making some money.
The government
will shut you down.
Yeah.
Right? We call that gouging. And I don't see this as any different.
If it is labeled at $4.10 when you put the nozzle into your car, yep, they have to sell you that gas.
We have like the entire weights and measures departments for that very reason.
But gasoline is a globally traded commodity. Shoes are not.
Well, that's where it gets interesting, right? Because there's an MSRP for everything.
Right.
You can buy 10,000 pairs of shoes with an MSRP of $7 and decide as a company, I don't really want to make that much money. I'm going to charge $5. Or you can decide, I want to make more money, and you can charge $10.
Yes, but you charge $10 across the board to everybody.
Correct.
you don't charge 10 for you, but 12 for me because I live over here, and 15 for Scott because he lives over there. I mean, it's just
but go
bananas.
Back
to you. We're allowing it.
I love your gasoline analogy because when you roll into, you know, name your gas station BP, Quick Trip, whatever, and they don't try to figure out, you know, through facial recognition or your credit card or whatever, where you live or how much you're worth, where, you know, I can afford to pay, thankfully, the $4.10 right down the street, where somebody else might not be able to afford that. They don't get a discount. And you're right, we have weights and management or whatever it's called.
Weights and measures department.
Measures.
Thank all you. Over.
And they literally are in charge of making sure that when the sign says 410, you're paying 410.
Mm-hmm.
That is their job.
Gas stations are very interesting. I can tell you how they work. When you increase the price at a gas station, you have to change the sign before you change the pump. When you decrease the price at a gas station, you have to change the pump before you change the sign.
Really?
So it's not advertised at a lower price than what is being charged. If you were to do it the opposite, they have legal standing to take their receipt, walk in, and demand a lawsuit on the spot.
That's how stringent they are about the gas prices. Why are we allowing this wonkiness with other products? I have no idea.
Let's go to Aaron. What's up, man?
Hey, so it's similar, but Dollar General recently, you know, lost a lawsuit in Missouri over deceptive pricing because they were pricing things on the shelf for, say, $3, and then you get up to the register, and they're $4.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that suit. Now, I'm sure they're appealing it and whatnot. But you said that shoes aren't a globally traded commodity. Yeah, they are. Where do you think the shoes are made? Overseas. And then they come here. Like, that's globally traded.
They're globally traded, but they're not a commodity.
All sold goods are commodities.
Okay.
Anyhow, so, regardless, the other thing is it's just deception. Scott, did you know you and Dana pay more for things you buy online? Well, I know you don't buy anything online, Scott. If you bought it through the Sears catalog, you'd pay more if you bought it on your iPhone because people with iPhones generally have more money than people with or willing to spend more money than people with Androids. And it's been proven time and time again that companies deceptively mark up prices on people that buy things on iPhones.
Is that true?
100%.
People with iPhones tend to spend more money than people with Androids.
Yep.
I'll be darned.
They bought the iPhone.
Did you say that over the air or just in my ear?
No, over the air.
Your disdain and hatred for the iPhone.
Oh, it's something.
Knows no measure at all.
It just brings me joy.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Hey, if you missed a segment, be sure to check out the Dana and Parks podcast. You can follow us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Just want to pass this along. A shelter in Kansas City, Kansas is asking for help after 30 dogs were rescued from either a house or an apartment. I'm not sure. 30 dogs, Scott, abandoned in one space. Quoting here from the police department. This is not an animal problem. It is a people problem.
That's exactly right. That is exactly right.
People who don't spay or neuter their pets, people who don't understand pet ownership, carries responsibility, people who abandon their pets when they become inconvenient, mm-hmm. and people who turn a blind eye and assume someone else will help. The Kansas City, Kansas Animal Shelter is begging for help. These were 30 animals left with no food, no water, no care.
They do God's work.
Took off.
Yep.
And left these poor, sweet pups in this house. And so they are looking for help in the form of fostering.
Why would you have 30 dogs?
Scott, I have...
Unless you lived, like, out on a ranch.
It's so sad. The police department posted video. Look at all their tails, just a wagon, when they came with food and water. So Kansas City, Kansas, shelter looking for help. If you can, please do.
Is there anything more terrifying than a hornet flying into your home?
I'm going to go with, well, I'm going
to
go
Because that
with
happened
a,
to me this morning.
I'm going to go with a swarm of them in Arizona last week.
Well, yeah, duh. I was sitting out on the front porch. I was on a Zoom meeting and just sitting there minding my business. I had the door open, the front door open. Lizzie's laying in the door jam, just enjoying the day. And I look up and I see this gigantic black hornet coming closer and closer to the front door.
Yeah.
I'm petrified of these things. And I have to stay on the Zoom, right?
Yeah.
And so I'm on.
Well, I think it would be acceptable at that point to be like, there's a winged thing trying to kill me. May I step out?
So anyway, so I tried to bat it away from the front door. It ends up getting in. I have these two windows way up above the front door, tiny windows. And the hornet decides to go up there and hang out for a little bit. Obviously, I forgot to turn my picture off on my Zoom. And so I'm running around the house like a maniac.
Yeah.
I'm in the garage getting the wasp and hornet killer spray. And finally, the person who's hosting the meeting goes, Scott, is there anything you would like to add? And I realize, oh my God, I'm still on video. I unmute myself and I go, hornet in house, repeat, hornet in house, I'll be back. He's dead.
From the socials, today is the first day that Patrick Mahomes is back on a football field with his teammates. He did participate in some form or fashion. That is ESPN Chiefs reporter Nate Taylor on NFL Live.
Krispy Kreme has agreed to a $1.6 million settlement to resolve a class action lawsuit over a November 2024 data breach.
Okay.
Which apparently exposed consumer information.
Do I get free donuts or 96 cents?
Pastry lovers affected by the breach could be eligible to receive a payment exceeding $3,000.
Are they admitting there was a hole in their security?
out!
Get out.
Man, $3,000, that's a lot of dough.
Out!
Get out! And don't encourage him, Dan.
I hear Dan laughing out there.
Really glad they didn't sugarcoat it.
No.
You're on fire.
Don't you dare say someone's eyes glazed over. that is off limits, Sam.
Come on.
I might have to sprinkle that one in there.
Okay.
The police department in Marietta, Georgia, took a man to jail after he was accused of getting drunk and stealing an ambulance.
Woo-woo!
According to a police report, Eric Jordan is said to have stolen an ambulance from a gas station on Church Street. When asked, Jordan told officers that he took the ambulance, quote, for the purpose of saving the world.
Drugs are bad, kids.
Very
specifically
bad.
Meth, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And he was charged with theft by taking, to which I asked, how else do you thieve?
Birthdays today, Stevie Nicks, Lenny Kravitz, and Hank Williams Jr., all celebrating birthdays today. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in these United States, the great Sam Stevie III, a little punster today. My good friend and co-host Dana Wright, my name is Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe, be well, and be good to one another. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.